your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm in a trolley and I'm making U-turns, baby. Yeah, I'm in Florida, but I don't be Miami. I might go Jacksonville, I might be Tallahassee. Yeah, I'm in Florida, but I don't go Miami. A trolley and I'm making U-turns, baby.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday, the 22nd of September, 2025. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and I got to remind you all to go check your Gnep tree. My Gnep started late this year. Last night, I saw two Gnep on my tree that I could not reach. I had no one to help me. I was very upset. Y'all, please check your Gnep tree. Make sure you ain't leaving any Gnep on the tree. Let's clear these trees and prune them and prepare them for next year's harvest. Okay. We got lots to talk about this morning. We opened the show with a song by a Bahamian. I know some of y'all is like, no, man, I ain't no Bahamian. That's Johnny Cake with his hip-hop track, Florida. I'm so happy my producer played that this morning. He must have read my mind because I've got some stories about Florida that impact the Bahamas, along with what is in the papers today. There's lots to talk about, so I want to move through it quickly. So we're going to start with these Florida stories that I think have a large impact on the Bahamas and that we should begin preparing for. The first story, what Florida ending vaccine mandates could mean for the rest of the U.S. And I want to ask us, what could it mean for us? Florida's Surgeon General made a surprising announcement last week that the state is moving to, quote, end all vaccine mandates. Dr. Joseph Latipo said the Florida Department of Health would be working with Governor Ron DeSantis's office to end all mandates in state law. DeSantis noted that some vaccine mandates would be removed immediately, while others would require legislative intervention. Latipo, the state's Florida's Surgeon General, said that parents should be able, quote, to choose, close quotes, what vaccines they want their children to receive or not to receive. In a statement to ABC News, the Florida Department of Health said the rule change will go into effect 90 days after the September 3rd announcement and will include the removal of immunization requirements for the hepatitis B vaccine, chickenpox vaccine, hemophilus influenza type B vaccine, and pneumococcal conjugate vaccines. Other vaccines, including for poliomyelitis, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, measles, mumps, and rubella, will remain in place unless updated through legislation, according to the State Department. A few days after, see, this article was the 9th of September, a few days after the 14th of September, I found this article in the UK Guardian. Florida vaccine mandate rollback falters after Trump criticism. It took barely 2 days and some huffs of disapproval from the White House before Joseph Latipo's bold plan to eliminate all vaccine mandates in Florida began to deflate. The action, the fervently religious state surgeon general had asserted at a fire and brimstone press conference in Tampa, came straight from the heavens. Quote, who am I as a man standing here now to tell you what you should put in your body? Close quotes. He opined, framing the freedom to reject vaccines as a, quote, reflection of God's light against the darkness of tyranny and oppression. Mandates were akin to, quote, slavery, close quotes, he said, in comments presumably intended to align with the ongoing anti-vaccination campaign of misinformation and myth of the Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy. And so that's what is happening in the U.S. right now, and in Florida, our closest neighbor. Trump's observation came alongside a furious backlash from medical experts and political opponents to the Surgeon General's grand plan for Florida to become the first state not to require vaccinations for school-age children. Trump expressed concern about Florida's move. I'm going to continue reading. The reason for that is the Oval Office. Donald Trump denounced Latipo's edict as quote, a tough stance, close quotes, less than 48 hours after he issued it. Quote, this is Donald Trump speaking now. You have vaccines that work. They just pure and simple work. They're not controversial at all, close quotes. The president said, quote, I think those vaccines should be used. Otherwise, some people are going to catch it and they endanger other people. I think people should take it, close quotes. So I thought this was an interesting story, something that we should be, that should be in our foresight. Is that it? In our
purview.
There you go, purview. Good morning, Mr. Newry. How you do?
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing today? You good?
I good. I'm a little concerned about the story, right? But you know what? I'm not that concerned because we've had, over the last couple of months, we've had at least one time a representative from the infectious disease unit at the airport. They weren't necessarily here in that capacity. They were here in a broader health discussion. But in conversations with them, you know, you feel a degree of comfort seeing, you know, hearing from them the infrastructure, the fullness, the breadth and scope of the program and the policy. But it's something that we should be talking about. Our cruise passengers come from Florida, right? Like they mm-hmm. get on the boat in Florida, even if they're coming from other parts of the country. We get lots of Bahamians moving back and forth in Florida every day.
Definitely the Miami International, Fort Lauderdale International Airport is a hub for the Bahamas, that passing through type concept. But the idea that we do have protocols in the Bahamas from Department of Infectious Diseases, whatever it is, that gives you that self, that space of comfort, even though more can be done.
Yeah.
But the idea of no vaccines in Florida pose a risk to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we have someone at the door holding the gate saying, well, this is what we can do. And perhaps we need to have a national response, a planned response to increase mm-hmm. in terms of our policing of our borders regarding that, to be a better lookout. So, well, I see some signs, therefore you need to be quarantined and move on from there.
And I would love for the Ministry of Health, Ministry of National Security, maybe the AG's office to talk to us collectively as a nation about the value of vaccines and the necessity of vaccines, right, as a national security issue.
Mm-hmm.
And as a national security issue and as an economic issue, right? Because our tourism product will shut down
mm-hmm.
if we have an outbreak in a hotel.
Let's even change it to this new monkeypox.
But in fact, hold on, let me just read this headline.
Okay.
Three new monkeypox cases detected in Barbados. That's Saturday, reported in the Barbados Today publication.
Yeah. See, that can close down a country,
mm-hmm.
right? In order to safeguard the Bahamas, there needs to be a national plan. If we have one case, what is the protocol? What can we expect? How defensive do we become, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we have a case of people traversing to and through the Bahamas and there's a case of monkeypox, what is the response if something happens like that?
And so in Barbados, this Saturday, this story came out. Three confirmed cases of mpox now. Three cases of mpox, formerly called monkeypox disease, have been identified in three adults since August 2025, according to the Ministry of Health and Wellness. You noticed that Barbados have a Ministry of Health and Wellness too?
Yes. Question to you.
Mm-hmm.
When is there an outbreak, or the term outbreak is used? I purposely asked that question.
Right. I think it's quantitative, so you have a certain number of cases.
In food and beverage, mm-hmm. when someone said they had a food poisoning, mm-hmm. once it's two, it's an old break.
Yeah.
It's an old break. They have three cases.
Mm-hmm.
One would assume if you followed the food and beverage policy, they have an outbreak.
You use the word outbreak. The word outbreak was not used at any point in this article, Mr. Newry. The affected individuals, one female and two males, bring the total number of MPOC cases identified in Barbados to six since 2022. Mm. Right? The ministry said the three have no apparent travel history. However, two are known to have been in contact with each other. So it appears as if they were in contact with somebody who has a travel history, and that one person was in contact with a person who was in contact with someone. Mpox is an infectious disease which spreads through close contact with an infected person. It can be spread through intimate or sexual contact, day-to-day household contact, and within healthcare settings where personal protective equipment is not used appropriately. Mpox has been transmitted by contaminated materials like linen or clothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that could raise havoc in a hotel.
Yeah. That means you have to, that all beds have to be changed after every guest. And I mean, I may even request as a guest that if I could get my sheets washed every day, I would appreciate it.
Well, they change sheets every day, at least depending on the hotel.
Yeah.
Some hotels have service every day and some have turned down at night. And then some, they only do it once a week. Like, you come in, that's yours.
Yeah.
And you change it at the end.
But you can request it, right?
Yeah, you can request
it. Yeah, okay. Symptoms of infection with Mpox include skin rash or lesions in the mouth, nose, or genitalia, which can last 2 to 4 weeks, accompanied by fever, headache, muscle aches, back pain, fatigue, and swollen lymph nodes. Most cases recover fully. However, internationally, a small percentage have resulted in death. So not in Barbados, and I think not in the Caribbean, but globally we have seen some deaths. As the persons with Mpox should be isolated until the lesions are completely healed and they are no longer contagious. As the Mpox rash could appear similar to that of other diseases such as chickenpox, measles, or even herpes, it is important for suspected persons to contact their doctor or trained healthcare worker for appropriate guidance. In Barbados, the best Dos Santos laboratory has the capacity to carry out confirmatory tests for Mpox. The Ministry of Health and Wellness advises persons to continue practicing good hand hygiene and to avoid casual sexual activity with multiple partners. Yeah. Okay. So I think now would be a good time for some CSOs or NGOs, civil society partners or NGOs, to partner with the Ministry of Health to begin a series of public discussions, right?
Yes.
To raise awareness,
yes,
about both the potential of the diseases, the risk for infection, what we should be looking out for, mm-hmm, right? What when we observe this, what do we do? Who do we call? And then resources, right? If there is a potential for this. And given our experience with the pandemic, we understand what it means to isolate someone in a home. But we need more conversation about that. And then we need tools and resources. We know that in many homes, you just can't achieve isolation. To be isolated in a home, you got to be the only one in there, right? And so we need alternates. People need alternates. People need to hear them, right? People need to tell them, hear what your options are. Here's who you call if you suspect someone in your home needs to be quarantined but you can't manage that yourself. And especially if you have people who are already vulnerable, right? They have compromised immune, yeah, systems, or they're ill.
But we also need to appreciate that our houses in the Bahamas are small.
Mm-hmm.
One bedroom, two bedroom is, like, I guess is average for Bahamians, right? We share spaces.
Mm-hmm.
How does one quarantine?
In that type of space.
In that type of space.
Yeah.
Or those compound communities where you get everyone is at one yard and you get sugar and rice from this person and that person to survive.
Yeah.
How do you quarantine,
yeah,
and that type of living? Mm-hmm. And we had that issue during COVID also.
Mm-hmm.
How do you self-quarantine and you live in a community,
yeah,
in order to survive?
All right. So one more story coming out of Florida. I think it also is important for Bahamians to be aware of this legislative, or at least this policy shift in the United States of America, in Florida, in fact. Text, I saw you. I have it on the list of stories for today. Florida Attorney General declares open carry, quote, law of the state, close quotes, following court decision. What's legal now? This is from a publication, the Tallahassee, Florida. Open carry is now the law in Florida, according to State Attorney General James Utamaya, following a September 10th appeals court decision. Quote, I'm issuing guidance to Florida's prosecutors and law enforcement in light of the first DCA's decision in McDaniels versus the state, Utamaya posted on X on September 15th. That's formerly Twitter. Quote, because no other appellate court has considered the constitutionality of Florida's open carry ban since the SCOTUS decision in Bruin, the first DCA's decision is binding on all Florida's trial courts. Quote, meaning that as of last week, open carry is the law of the state, he said. While the law remains on the books absent legislative action, it's been rendered moot without enforcement. Okay, so the judge made a ruling, but the legislature has not affected that ruling, right? They haven't changed the law yet. But the AG tell the people that's the ruling is the law, and the statement I just read, while the law remains on the books, absent legislative action, it's been rendered moot without enforcement. What they're saying is, look, the law is on the books, but we're not enforcing it. It's kind of like what they're doing with left or
I just
going
to say the same thing.
It's kind of like that. And it's equally dangerous. Yeah. But except the AG didn't get up and make a statement. We just had a police officer who is no longer in charge of the department he spoke on behalf of. That is no indictment on him. That's just the procedure. They move, use the police. You move when they tell you move. It's no, I'm not making a defamatory statement. But somebody needs to say something. The AG needs to say something.
And it's been like 2 years since that interview? Maybe that much? How much?
Yeah, almost 2 years. I think it was end of year 2023.
And the call was to create signs. And in 2 years gone by.
The law says that you can only turn left on red where there is a sign posted. And give way does not mean stop. Y'all keep telling us there's nothing wrong with the education system. But a whole bunch of y'all trying to convince your children that give way means stop. And it doesn't. But that's why the rape stats are also out of control. Because stop means stop. It don't mean try again. It don't mean beg harder. It don't mean pretend like they're a big grown adult so you could get what you want. Okay, back to this story. Florida AG declares open carry law of the state. Ah. Technically, the... Oh, go on.
No, I'm concerned. Have you ever lived for a period of time in Florida?
Just No.
Just the road rage there is serious. Mm-hmm. These people get violent for no reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking this open carry thing just going to add to the turmoil there. Yeah. I am a little concerned.
Yeah. At this moment in time, I'm going to ask you, Mr. Nuri. Let's reach out to Mr. Gamal Nuri.
Okay.
Security specialist. Mm-hmm. Local and international, and let's ask him to send us somebody to talk about this. The thing that will impact us, one of the things we know will impact us right away, is we're likely to see more guns turning up at the border. Mm. Right? We're likely to see more guns turning up at the border, and that may be an impact on us. And the not weakening, I don't want to call it weakening, right? But the removal of gun restrictions may have an impact. It's not a direct cause, right? But may have an impact, could potentially lead to an increase in illegal importations of weapons, right? It's possible. However, this ruling does not affect other rulings or restrictions. So open carry cannot be prohibited in any place where government property is open to the public and unrestricted, right? In the 20-page decision, Judge Stephanie Ray said that is not to say that open carry is absolute or immune from reasonable regulation. Private property owners are still able to prohibit firearms on their property, which can include homes and businesses. Violation is considered armed trespass, a third-degree felony. The change in open carry not only applies to people... No, the change in open carry only applies to people legally allowed to possess a firearm. So it does not affect other restrictions in Florida's gun laws. Nobody, you know, if you're under the age of 21, you can't possess a gun. Convicted felons cannot possess a gun. Violent career criminals cannot possess a gun. People who have restraining orders from committing acts of domestic violence among the list of people who are restricted from possessing a weapon. But places where you cannot have your gun, places of nuisance, state and federal restrictions on carrying firearms in specific locations would still apply. So you can't have them in buildings where prostitution, illegal gambling, or criminal gang activities take place. You can't have it in any police sheriff or highway patrol station, no detention facility, prison or jail, no courthouse. You can't have it at any meeting of a government body. You can't have it where the legislature meets, no school, college, or professional athletic event not related to firearms, professional athletic events, no elementary or secondary school facility or building, no career center, and the list goes on. So I thought those were three stories that particularly impact us. And then I have another article here I just want to put on the record before we transition to some stories in the paper. Today's paper, that is. Doctor, government has failed us over medical care. That was in the Nassau Tribune on the 19th of September. An Abaco doctor yesterday argued that the government-run healthcare system has, quote, failed, close quotes, describing the model as, quote, ancient and not working, close quotes. Dr. George Charit, owner of Integrated Medical Center, told the Abaco Business Outlook Conference that the government has failed to provide adequate health services to the island and called for systemic reform and greater involvement by the private sector. That's the part I wanted to get to there. I mean, it goes on to say, hey, Abaco residents are often forced to travel to New Providence for critical diagnostic services such as CT scans. He noted that airlift costs can reach as high as $10,000 per patient. Wow. The current system in place puts an unfair burden on residents who choose or are forced to seek care at private clinics, as the government only covers airlift costs for patients referred through public health facilities. So I'm on the island, I'm in pain, I suspect I need attention, I want to get a scan. So you're telling me that if I go to a private clinic because there is no doctor available at the moment that I feel like my liver is trying to force its way out through my nose, then I cannot get any assistance from government for the airlift to the Capitol because I didn't use a government doctor? But what if the government doctor is not available? I don't like feeling like I in a 1970s blaxploitation movie, you know. I don't like that feeling. Because what if I had to go to the private facility because there was no public facility available? There was no doctor available. The doctor not on the island. The doctor not on this half of the island. And I just gone to the private clinic to make sure I'm not going to die in the next 45 minutes or the next 2 days. And then the doctor says, hey, look here, we need to get you to Nassau ASAP. You tell me the government is not going to help to facilitate that? I went to a private clinic? Anyway, in relation to the MPOC story and the Florida vaccine mandate story, and considering that the state has an obligation to provide equal and equitable access to services, what family islanders can do, Mr. Nuri? Mm. They just have to go find an acre in the bush and quarantine there?
Yep.
All right, I got another text come in. Good morning. Can any of you say why politicians are allowed to carry handguns? We should be allowed to carry handguns in our homes to protect our families and property. Okay, so well, conflating two issues. They're two separate things.
And anyone can get a handgun once you get the license and get permission from the commission of police.
But there has to be a reason, right? Like you have to fit within the criteria.
Whatever the criteria it is, but at least you're able to apply once you meet the criteria.
Because when I was being stalked by telephone and I spent 3 years trying to get attention from the state and the police, because over 3 years they lost 3 call logs and reports. Then the police came back to me and said, but Telco said the threat is not sufficient to warrant further investigation. Mm. Right? See, because I would have thought that if I could prove that I was being stalked, I could get a handgun, right? Mm-hmm. But it turns out, maybe it's just me. Maybe yeah. I couldn't.
But you need to apply to the commission of police and meet the criteria, and then you'd be granted one.
Right. I'll try and look for the criteria for you, but I do know that I observed a bodyguard for a politician carrying a handgun at one point. This is about 15, 20 years ago. And it was a friend of mine. And I saw him. I said, oh, boss, you on duty. I said, what type of work you doing now? And he told me. And so they were assigned. They were authorized to carry handgun. At least he was. In his duty of being a bodyguard for this particular politician. So I figure politicians who have faced threats, even though I don't know why you wouldn't make the threat public. Mm. Like, I think that if you're a politician and you're authorized to carry a gun because of a threat, that should be made public because you're a publicly exposed person.
And a part of our culture with politicians is they're supposed to be accessible. Mm-hmm. And we have passionate behemoths now who is hit deputy prime ministers because the deputy prime minister put their hands on their shoulders and say, calm down. And you just get that reaction. We've had that in the past.
You mean people, are you telling me a ghost story?
No, it's a real story.
No, we don't have a deputy prime minister.
Well, that
caller, where are you going? Please call. Sorry, Nuri. I didn't mean to say it like that.
Yeah.
Call back, caller. But now I can continue deriding the point. Yeah, we don't have a deputy prime minister.
And then we've also had wives of prime minister who've been physically attacked, assaulted on their way to vote.
Physically? Is that the spitting situation?
Yeah, spitting situation. All right. So all of that, one must take into account.
All right. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Right up, boy. If you go on stage and tell the whole Bahamas a bunch of false promises, you carry a handgun too.
Oh, boy.
You think about it. It only makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's think this out now. You go on stage and you tell everyone a bunch of foolishness, right? And they dumb enough to believe all the stupidness you tell them, right? You carry a handgun too.
And one must be concerned about their security if they're not concerned about their integrity.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thing, right? Who started this off anyway? Having people like you being a politician, right?
Mm-hmm.
And allowing the citizens to call you anytime. You realize that only happened in the Bahamas, you know. Only in the Bahamas, we could contact our politicians 24 hours a day. Who was the first one who started this?
I don't believe that.
You don't think so?
No.
Who else could contact? Okay, I can give you a prime example what you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
You realize, right, that Prime Minister Brave Davis, right, mm-hmm. is more popular to the public than the people who work for the, not the labor board, for the union. I'll give you an example right now. If any government employee, right,
mm-hmm.
gets in problems, you ever hear them call Kingsley Ferguson name or Kingsley whatever your name is? Mm-hmm. I guarantee you they always say, oh, I can contact Brave, which makes Brave Davis the most popular politician ever.
It's a risky proposition, though, because what if you can't satisfy them?
That's where hence for the handgun.
Yeah, there you go. I think politicians should be concerned about
concerned.
About that. No,
this,
about
this,
about...
Because, honestly, this is a different breed of voters, you know.
No, but I wasn't talking about the guns. I don't think politicians need to be concerned about that level of violence here, except for this point. They must take accountability and acknowledge that they are generating the violence. And until they shut the war rooms down, until they have a public, overt display of shutting the war rooms down and removing the violent rhetoric and culture from politics, then they must take responsibility for any violence that occurs at, around, or during elections. That's
okay,
it.
See, this will mean you cross paths, right?
Mm-hmm.
The war rooms cannot be shut down. You know why?
Because you all like war. Because you all like war.
Right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The war room only exists to please the public.
No, it doesn't. Stop
you
that.
You think
stop
all
it.
Them politicians...
You know when Nuri, could I can pay Nuri to say stop it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like how he is say it. I just can't get it right because I ain't got no children. But the point is, stop it. The people don't want that. What the people want is to have a sense of purpose and empowerment by belonging to something bigger than them that can get things done, particularly when they feel that their lives are so small and they are unable to get the smallest of things done, the most basic things. Right? The things that the political class say are necessary for a decent life, but the political class know are impossible for these people to attain on their own. That's why people cling to these parties. Not because they like violence and war, because they need to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Something that can empower them and enable them to be more than they are right now. Unfortunately, the political parties and the political class hog up all of the space. They demand all of the attention and they demand tribute, even for the pettiest and most trivial matters. I want to thank you, caller, for leading us in this direction because my Sunday was inundated with senior political cronies demanding that we celebrate the PLP for doing something that they ought to do and they ought to have done it decades ago. Public officers to get pay rise. This is expected by year's end, retroactive to September 1st, 2025. I shall not celebrate you for doing your job and doing it badly. Why am I going to celebrate you for that? Do your job. Your paycheck is the celebration of you doing your job. And guess what? You don't even have to do it well to get the paycheck. We're not going to celebrate anybody for this. We're not putting feathers in your cap. And look at the timing. Look at the timing. No, we're not going to celebrate this. Oh, it's good that you could do what you ought to do. You couldn't do it when you ought to do it, but I guess you did it. There's no celebration in that. Here we go. It says, CA, open carry is just the opposite of concealed carry. So you can have a concealed carry during road rage. So stop your nonsense. Okay, I didn't read the nonsense part at the end before I started reading the beginning. No, you're missing the point that Nuri is making. The open carry, right, the shift in open carry will embolden, right, will just exacerbate or make it more likely that a weapon is pulled in a road rage incident. Yeah, that's the point that we're making. We know that they could conceal carry before, but the question is, how does this impact the wider culture, right? Let's go to the phone line, and then we're going to go to the local stories. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
How you do?
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'd like to expound on your thought, what you just talked about, these people who get paid to do what they do, and then they congratulate them on what they do.
Yes, sir.
I made a point some time ago about this. I said, people you honor are those that take their own money and own time and do something to benefit the public or the world.
Mm-hmm.
You go, people who are paid, then you hang their picture because they miss them, do something, and you honoring them like they did something on their own behalf. Big thing mix up.
Missing.
So honor people who go out and do or invent something on their behalf, and it benefits the public or the world.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime these ministers, we got them hang all about in the airport or the office building, and they're being paid to do so. What you hanging their picture for? Whether mm-hmm. it works or not, they get paid.
Yeah.
And they're not, nobody says anything to them. Nobody prosecutes them for all the things that go missing and all of that. So this psyche where we honor these people because they've been in politics long and all that, they get paid for every day. They travel, they eat off of us and everything.
Perks. That. Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they don't honor Funky P, somebody like him.
Mm-hmm.
He is the only musician that, I mean, they lives off of his own will. Now,
mm-hmm.
if you ask somebody for money, he lives off of his music.
There you go.
And we wouldn't honor him. We need to go honor him. That's how I teach these people who to honor.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. If I can quote the May 4th, 2022 article by Candia Dames that indicated, it referenced a 2015 OAS review that indicated that the last time that public disclosures outside of the electoral process, that public disclosures were gazetted was 2011, and that only carried up to 2008, right? And the only time we see public disclosures is at election time, or like at the by-election, and even then, it's foolishness. You say, are these the people y'all leave to manage our affairs, and they can't even fill out a form with sense?
You have all these people in the communities that are doing things, doing their part to keep their yard clean, making sure to keep their money. Honor them.
Yes. The regular people.
These politicians, they're making more money than you can shake a stick, enough to take a bottle trip like my dad would say.
Mm-hmm.
And we got them hanging up like they do something special.
You know, and I got another caller, but you know what is ironic? You put the picture of the minister up in the ministry or in the space that they have oversight, they're responsible for, to indicate that the buck stops with them. But the only buck they see is the one they put in their wallet. It's maddening. It's idol worship. You're not worshiping y'all, and then you want us to worship you for doing a poor job? Oh, no. Good morning, caller. Good morning. We're going to go to a break. When we get back from the break, Junkanoo divided over support for government bill. Child dies after Freeport playground swing set collapses on top of him, and fares over infection rise for dialysis patients at PMH. We're definitely going to read that one. You guys, hold on. 96.9 FM. On the clock. We'll be right back.
Snapchat, I got plenty pictures.
I'm in Florida, spending a little me time. If you hating, please put your comments on rewind.
Get ready to swing for a cause. The 4th Annual Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, brought to you by Cleft of the Rock Foundation in proud partnership with the Bahamar Foundation. Join us on Sunday, October 5th at the world-class Royal Blue Golf Course at Bahamar in Nassau, the Bahamas, for a day of championship golf, community, and impact. This isn't just another tournament. It's a chance to change lives. Every putt, every drive, every swing supports programs like Parenting on Purpose and Disciplines for Life, empowering families across the Bahamas with education, awareness, and hope. Don't miss this unforgettable event. The 4th Annual Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, October 5th. To register or learn more, visit cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Morning, morning, morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Man, producer, why would you play such exciting music among such excitable people and not expect excitement? Caller, I got 30 seconds for you. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm screaming. I saw you only have 30 seconds.
No, man, I didn't know it was you. Go on.
CA knew you to do me a favor.
CA
was talking earlier about vaccines. You know, but I would like to respond to, I don't want to talk politics because it's senseless. The ballistics and private citizens with credibility and being noble in society should be able to carry firearms. You don't have the right to protect yourself. You need to do a show. Let's ask why is it against the law for Bahamian citizens to have a bulletproof vest? It shows you exactly what's going on. But I need you to really bring someone on and let's have a really, really intellectual conversations about vaccines. Okay? And a real, you know, you can't just, you know, I noticed that Dr. Ian Strawn use immunization interchangeably with vaccines just now on the radio, and I wanted to call in to verify that they are not the same. It is obvious they are not the same, and you could easily prove that without a doubt. And so when you look at the vaccines that have the most adverse events, it would be the mumps, measles, and rubella. Now, we know that they are safe, but you won't hear about the adverse events or the deaths from them or the encephalopathy or the allergic reactions or the seizures produced from the fever, which is caused by the temperature. So even though I'm a non-pundit, what I like to do is have pundits on the air so they can agree with me. And so even though the last one, she didn't say that vaccination and immunizations are the same, that was hurtful to me. This is why me personally, from I was on the air from the inception, I was telling people we need a scientific ombudsman to educate the public, just like how Lang and everybody else educating the people on economics. And that is one of the reasons why I didn't go back to the university, because they wanted me to take a mumps, measles, and rubella. The fact that these vaccines are all co-joined together, when you have an adverse event, you don't know which one is causing it. And the fact that children are being inundated now more than ever with vaccines because of big pharma and capitalism, you won't know what is causing adverse events or idiosyncrasies or idiopathic reactions, etc., whatever. So they use the term syndrome. And we saw these monkeypox emergence after the vaccines rollout. So if you want to look at cladistics, monkeypox has clad 1 and clad 2. So it's a DNA virus. So it won't mutate and cause any harmful effect. The death rate is basically 0.3. And so it's all a fair mongering to get the sheep to go in the corral. I need you to really please, man, let's have a real intellectual conversation, debate about this, and have a fact checker, because this is the only way to get rid of this BS.
Before you go, send me the names of professionals and experts that are willing to have the conversation. I can say it. Hold on. Pause. Just send it off air. That's what I'm telling you. Send me the names off air of the people who you think would be willing to have the conversation, because that's the problem right there. I'm 52. That's the problem. the people who are unwilling to have the conversation, or more succinctly, the people who are unwilling to have the conversation with me, I have been inviting them. All right, so just quickly, I got 5 minutes before we transition. I want to get these in. I don't want to bully my way through Mr. Nuri's show with my stories, but Mr. Nuri reminded me of something I saw over the weekend. I saw a video. I assume it was either, was it Milo Butler Highway? Yes. Milo Butler Highway. It looked like it was northbound lane. And there was like a caterpillar. There was a large vehicle. Like, I think it was one of those vehicles that the law now requires you to tow. Like, you have to put it on a flatbed to take it to the work site. One of those type vehicles. And there was another vehicle. There's a vehicle filming behind the large yellow caterpillar-like vehicle. And then there was a vehicle in the left lane, slightly forward of them, also filming. And then I noticed there was a tow truck that was swerving from the left lane to the right lane, from the left lane to the right lane, straight up the road, right? And I said, well, what is happening here? Does this tow truck driver think he's police? And then somebody told me there was a funeral procession, right? For a trucker, somebody in the Truckers Association. And I'm here to say, see, that's the foolishness right there. That's the foolishness I was talking about right there, right? What was the point of the CDL exercise? If all the people driving heavy, not all, now, not all. Let me just say that I know personally of them, and we know there are professional drivers on this road. But there's far too many people who act like their CDL license is authorization to do whatever they want on the road. You're all in these big vehicles, the 18-wheelers and the large gas tankers and the big box trucks, act like the only law on the road is that you are bigger and you could do whatever you want. I was going to say the word goddamn, you know. Like, I could say it like this, but the way I was going to say it, Erka would have called me the way I was going to say it. It's a joke. It's a mockery. You know what they call a group of Bahamian drivers? An embarrassment. See, earlier this year, I was on my way to work on Shirley Street, and I was in the right lane, and I observed a guy on a scooter. And when I looked, I could see that there was a four-wheel, like a Jeep, an open-side Jeep. And then I realized there's a convoy of vehicles. And I'm in the right lane proceeding because I have the right of way. And the scooter, ignoring the fact that I had the right of way, impeded the right lane and just pulled the scooter into the road and stopped in front of me. So you know what I did? I put on my turn signal and I moved safely to the left lane. And you know what that idiot did? He pulled his scooter to the middle of the road as if he was a police conducting a roadblock. So you know what I did? I safely avoided him because I had the right of way and I kept going. And you know what that idiot on that scooter did? He followed me. He pulled up to the side of my window and asked me what I was doing. And I looked at him, and then God said to me, Aaron, keep going where you're going. And he kept following me, shouting at me and cursing at me. And I looked at him and I said, big man, are you a police officer? He said, you almost killed my tourist. I said, you know what I did? I pulled my megaphone out of the car and I turned it on. And I shouted at him through the megaphone. I said, big man, are you a police officer? If you are, follow me to the police station. He accused me of trying to kill his tourists as he was conducting an illegal roadblock, pretending to be police and obstructing traffic and risking the lives of tourists. So that's what you're all empowering these people to do on the road? From the coconut boys to the scooterists to the big truck drivers now? You're just empowering them to do whatever foolishness they want to do on the road? They know the police not enforcing the laws. They know the police not following the laws. They know the people who drive, the judges who adjudicate the laws. They know the people who drive and the judges don't follow the laws. They know the politicians don't follow the laws on the road. They know the wealthiest people in the Bahamas don't care to follow the laws on the road. They know the white people, the Chinese people, the diplomats, the people in the HCC car, the people in the CD cars, all of them. It's come to the point where my peers ridicule me for following the law. Boy, let me tell you something. I laughing at y'all. The kind of laugh you laugh when you don't know if you should cry out of shame for them or not. Are you serious? A tow truck driver on some Milo Butler Highway was conducting his own Outrider services, obstructing traffic, talking about he's a part of a funeral procession, and he is preventing traffic from proceeding forward past the procession, which suggests that they weren't just maintaining one lane on a two-lane highway. They decided that they would have all the lanes and do whatever they want on the road. And you're trying to tell me it has nothing to do with Renwood Wells in 2019 announcing the change in the law but not actually telling people what the law is? You think it has nothing to do with Superintendent Lockhart sitting here in this studio and telling people, yeah, we know what the law says, but we ain't going to enforce it? Ki-ki-ki? That was me. I was doing the ki-ki-ki, not him. Anyway, let me get to these texts. One of the problems the Bahamas faces that most Bahamians are too stupid and they don't know how much involved they should get in the affairs of the country. My texter, I love this text. Because it's a socialization. We can talk about this text this week. All right, we are at the end of the show. Again, I'm going to need you all to pick up this, read this article, Fares Over Infection Rise for Dialysis Patients at PMH. Dialysis patients at PMH are facing heightened risks of infection, with healthcare workers blaming temporary catheters, staff shortages, and inconsistent supplies for the crisis. Shame. Shame. We have to carry this. This is shame. We should be ashamed. And for all the people who tell me I just running out asking again and again and again how much the Golden Jubilee anniversary cost us, now I gotta ask you, how many lives has it cost? Because how much money could have been diverted to necessary pursuits like saving lives? I know too many people who have died. Too many dialysis patients who have died necessarily. Let me tell you something. Guardian Radio and with T.A. Newry is up next. So stay tuned.
Guardian Radio 96.9, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.